Defund the police. Okay, that's something we talked about yesterday, and we decided at some point that maybe the word defund might not be the right word. Though I have heard some radical voices in the movement say that they would like to just break apart the police, eliminate it, and then have some sort of a community-led, community-run peace force. And I see a lot of problems with that, but that's not what's being discussed for Chicago or Illinois right now. What is being looked at is the $12 billion overall budget in Chicago. We just heard that we've got a bit of a budget deficit given the COVID-19 crisis, a pretty serious one. But $2 billion of that $12 billion is spent on police, so roughly 20%. And some are saying reallocation of funds is necessary, that we should take a look at policing and come up with some changing strategies. We should look at mental health and treat that differently. That shouldn't be a police issue. There are a number of things that are being suggested. Let's talk about this with Representative LaShawn Ford. He is a West Side lawmaker who has ideas on this, and I know you're out front and center on all of this. Representative, thanks for being on WGN.
Oh, thank you for having me, Anna. And, you know, you guys have always been fair to the people that I represent by having me have a voice on your show. So I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate the time. And I know that we're trying to understand what this means. And initially, when people heard defund the police, everyone was really afraid about that whole idea. At least I was. I'll speak for myself. I didn't think that just kind of breaking apart the whole police department and redoing a peace force with people eliminating the entire thing would be a good idea. But you kind of have an idea about that does involve sort of starting over again. I heard you say, let's tear it down to build it up again. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, you must replace this system. Now, the question is, are we going to have the opportunity to work with the FOP and the police to fix a cancerous system? Or do we have to just get rid of it like a lemon car? You know, you just get rid of cars because they're so bad because you can't fix them. But it's my belief that that the Chicago Police Department is beyond repair. So we really should eliminate that system and start a new one, because it's putting police in jeopardy. It's giving police a bad name. So I'm all for if the police department, Chicago Police Department, say, we're at the table and we want to do the real reforms, and we're going to implement the real reforms, because it's not fair to our members that we have to work long hours, overtime, and put ourselves under stress and pressure like we've seen during this during the looting and the riots. The police are put out there and putting themselves at risk by a system that is failing them, and definitely failing Black people and failing taxpayers. So, you know, overtime, taxpayers have to pay for all the overtime that the Chicago police departments have to pay the police for being on the street. Guess what else? The Chicago Police Department have $1 billion almost in lawsuits, and the taxpayers have to pay for that. I mean, why would we continue to go down the path of funding a system that's failed?
Well, you know, the reason they're overtime is right now because there are riots, right? I mean, you can't, thank God we have the police department in time like this. Would this be okay, in your view, if you didn't have police patrolling the streets during these very tense times?
No, I mean, even before the riots, the Chicago Police Department have extraordinary budget overtime. That's a problem, because the system is bad. And even before the George Floyd, the Chicago Police Department has had almost $1 billion in liability lawsuits. That's because it's a system. Even before George Floyd, the Chicago Police Department has a consent decree that, if you read it and you see part of the consent decree that the union said that they were not willing to compromise with, is they're not willing to compromise on anything that will deal with their collective bargaining.
Yeah, I hear that constantly cited. And, you know, look, I feel as if, rooting out the cops that are doing wrong. And I think that let's be honest, I think there's some of them that are fairly well known within the department, that they have been protected for too long. I've done investigative reporting in my prior life and have exposed some of these cops, people who were taking wrongful confessions and getting wrongful convictions. And you're right, they resulted in lawsuits that are very costly for our city. I feel like the department should do a better job at that. I don't think there's been a great record on that. But you have 13,000 officers, Representative Ford, 13,000. And show me a group of 13,000 where you don't have bad people or bad actors, people who are not acting within the rules of the department. But if you break that down, build it up, how does the new system suddenly become perfect?
Because you have consequences and you have rules in place that you have rules of engagement and you have consequences that will make sure that officers know that they're not above the law. There's no talk about individual police. This is to talk about a system, not individual police, because we need police. There's no doubt that we need police on the streets of Chicago, but and across the country. But there's no reason for us to put police at risk and put citizens at risk with a system that's bad. You know, there's no way we should continue to put the police of Chicago at risk with a system that doesn't protect them. And they're being tricked into believing that they shouldn't stand up for change and that they shouldn't say that you guys are putting us at risk because you are not standing up for the real change that we need. If we say that the majority of the police are good, then they should stand up with us and say, we want real institutional change. And one thing about negotiating, I'm a business person, and you go hard, and hopefully it gets the attention. And when you get the attention, then you have some real negotiations.
So is this more of an attention-getting thing? Because I agree with you, the FOP does not speak for all police. And I think if you talk to police on the street, they want to be part of the solution. And they realize that there are changes that should be made, and they want to be part of that, and they want to serve their communities. And the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of police officers want that. They want to be better for the future. They want our city to be safe, and they don't want to be, frankly, feeling like they're under attack all the time either. The FOP has protected some of the guys on the force who shouldn't have been protected in the past. But now you're at this point where you're saying, is this a negotiating tactic? We want to bring this to the FOP so that they understand that everything could go away and this is to build it back up again?
Well, I would think that the FOP would have to make their choice. They would have to say, we're going to be a partner in the structural change that's needed and put in place consequences for officers so that they can be protected and know that if they have misconduct, that they could be punished. And that sort of tampers down a person's behavior because they know that I can't do this type of act because there are consequences. Now, if the FOP wants to have a system that's in place that respects the citizens that pay their salaries, then I think that we don't have to defund this system. But you got two options, real reform or defund this system as taxpayers and build a new one to protect the people, because the people are still at risk under the current system. The people are still at risk under the system that we have. So black people are at risk and white people taxes are at risk. White people are disrespected also by this police force. We saw it during the riots. And so we need to protect the police and put consequences in place. As a teacher, one of our trainings that we had for the first day of school, we were instructed the way you have a good classroom is to be prepared. But the two things that you have to do on the first day of school is to lay out the rules and the consequences. If you lay out the rules and the consequences and follow through on them, you're going to have a well-run classroom. But no rules and no consequences, you're going to lose control. And that's what we have right now. there's no reason for the FOP to not say there's something wrong with this system that we have. If they say that, we're negotiating from behind the eight ball, and there's no win with these people. Mm-hmm. That's why it's either A or B. Defund this system and let's build up again and put a police force in place that understands real policing, or get rid of this one.
When you say get rid of it and start over, are you speaking of this idea that I've sort of heard out there that it's a peace force and that it's community run and community led? I just see there's so many problems with that, because community people are not infallible. They don't have perfect judgment, and neither does anybody else that you'd suit up and put on the streets for that role. I'm just trying to envision what you're talking about.
I'm looking for highly qualified police that have the training that they need in order to be highly qualified officers. You know, right now, guess what? In order to be a police officer, you could go to school and get your associate degree, and you don't have to have any training in policing. You can have a degree or associate's degree in basket weaving. And I'm not just saying that. It's true. You don't have to have any specific training as it relates to community relations, as it relates to law enforcement training. You just have to have an associate's degree or a 75 credits to become a police in anything.
So, well, you have to go through several tests, though. You have to go through mental health tests, and there's so many tests that you go through that a pool of thousands and thousands is sometimes whittled down to a couple hundred. There certainly are parameters. I don't think that's exactly true, that it's just you show up with an associate's degree and they give you a badge and a gun and you head out there. I mean, there's a lot of training.
You know,
there's a federal consent decree right now that requires use of force training, all kinds of training. It is fairly rigorous to the point where you get thousands of people applying and it whittles down to barely only a few folks. Representative, I'm not sure that's exactly true. There have to be some kind of qualifications, and I'm going to agree with you.
It's true. It's true.
And there has to be an eye on the future of where we go from here. There is a consent decree post Laquan McDonald and the wrongs that we saw there. Now a federal judge decides that how this department moves forward. Those kinds of things are in place to already do better. Is that enough?
No, because FOP is against it. And it's true that, first of all, when we bring in new recruits, we should bring in new recruits just like hospitals bring in qualified people to be doctors or nurses or RNs or LPNs. They are specifically trained for the job that they're going to perform. In the case of a police, you just get to come in regardless to what your degree is in and become a police. And then you rely on a system to train you that's corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
all
the
right.
problem.
Representative Ford, what's the next step here? I think I understand where you're coming from. I do want to hear from our listeners and get some other folks into the conversation here. But what's the next step here that we should be following? Where do you think what's going to happen next?
I think the number one thing is for the FOP and the people to listen to one another and not dismiss what citizens are saying. Citizens have a place at the table. If they feel that they should defund, then we should listen to them and we should negotiate with them to find out what do they really mean. Do you mean defund or do you mean abolish? I don't think that anyone is saying abolish the police force. They're saying let's defund the current system that we have and let's put a system in place that works for the safety of communities. That's what people want. They don't want a police force that make it difficult for a person that's black to be shot in the back or harassed during policing. They want a police force that's going to deal with the cartel that's bringing guns and drugs into the community so that all of our lives are safe. That's what people want.
And I think they're doing some of that. Now, they are doing that. You're seeing record numbers of guns pulled off the street. During the protests, there were something like 700 guns that were recovered from people out there. I mean, police are acting in that way. It's not a perfect system. There are changes, and I want to talk about those. But I really appreciate your time, Representative Ford.
But Ann, before you hang up, before we go, the police are dealt a bad hand. Why are we in Chicago allowing the guns to even get to the spot where police have to police that way? The police need to step up and be a part of the fight to protect their lives and to make sure that they're able to be respected. The police are needed, but they need to be protected, and they need a contract that's going to protect them, and they should join the fight for reform.
All right, I agree with you on that, that we have to stop the guns before they get here. We'd be a lot better off. But thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Representative LaShawn Ford. He's a West Side lawmaker and trying to lead on this whole thing of the reallocation of funds. And you just heard his viewpoint. Let's hear yours. Anna here at WGN. We're taking your calls, 312-981-7200. You just heard from Representative LaShawn Ford, his view about tear it down and build it back up, the police department, or else get the FOP and the police union to get more on board with changes that need to be done, in his view. Let's go to the phones. David, go ahead. You're on WGN. Your thoughts on what you just heard and beyond that.
Yeah, how you doing? You know, you finally made a point that the Chicago Police Department is under consent decree. And everything that the congressman was talking about is already being addressed in the consent decree. And it was put together by input from the citizens and the rank and file. We've already been down this road. And so the congressman putting all his effort into pointing the fingers at the system that one person made a mistake, not the entire system did. Maybe he should put his efforts in to his community that he represents and get job training and better education and all the stuff that's been put on the backs of police officers over the years because all those social services have been cut and put on the police's plate. Maybe he should put in his efforts towards those things and let the police continue to police the way that they've been trained to do and do the men and women do every day and an excellent job of doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a tendency to put everything on the entire department when things like this happen. One of these things is too much, and I understand, but and there are things that we can do better. But you're right. We in Chicago, we already have we have these milestones under that consent decree that you have to hit that are what other departments maybe are looking at right now as a model for what they should and could be doing there. Do you agree, though, that there could be a cut in the police budget and that that money would then go to mental health, job training, some of these services that, you know, would help the department ultimately because those kinds of issues wouldn't fall in their lap?
No, I don't. Perfect example is while all the efforts of the police department was to protect the First Amendment rights of the protesters and then attempt to stop the looters, there were 40 homicides in 1 week. Mm-hmm. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to protect the citizens of the city of Chicago, and cutting the budget would not help that at all. Maybe that budget could be cut after services are put in place to help citizens that are in distress, and we see a change in behavior, then that I think that conversation could be had.
All right. Thank you, David. Thanks for calling in WGN. Appreciate your thoughts. Let's go to Sheila. Sheila, go ahead. You're on WGN.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment. I agree with both sides. I'm seeing it. The police department shouldn't have to deal with so many, you know, with the whole mental aspect, because I live out here in the south suburbs, and when they made all these cutbacks, the cops are just, they're dealing with stuff, you know, that people, just me and you, regular people just can't handle. There's a lot of people with mental illness. There's a lot of homeless people, and there's no services for them. During this pandemic, we have a mental health place right here on the expressway that's been closed down. Where are these people going? They're walking around. They've been out the whole time. And, like, you know, there's really nothing in place for the police to, you know, really do about that. I mean, there's no place they can really put the people. It's just overcrowded, overrunning. And then when we do need to call them for things that really do need to be handled and we need the police, they're kind of clogged up with this. And the other side of that is simply this. It does need to be some restructuring in the police department. You have good cops, men and women in blue, and they are under, they can't say anything, but they're under extreme pressure and stress because they can't, you know, they're getting bullied within the department, you know, and it's not right to have this kind of pressure put on them. I mean, I've known people who try to speak out, step up, and do what's right, and you have these bad eggs that are not. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad because you know what they do to them? And I've had an actual cop tell me this, that they pressure them and they put so much pressure on them. It's absolutely ridiculous. They said if they get in trouble, they won't show. And they said, well, you won't have backup, you know, if you do this and this and that. And, you know, and you see them committing suicide. They're under all kinds of stress. It's not just at home. It's in the department. And it's wrong.
Thank you, Sheila. Thanks for your thoughts. And, you know, you do, I feel like being a police officer right now is one of the toughest jobs in America. And the good men and women, and there are so many of them, are trying to do what's right and build good communities. We'll continue this conversation. It's not going away. There's a lot more to discuss on that.